Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Heaven, I'm so glad it's real. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. Home, sweet home. Oh, say, will you meet me there? And with most of the songs we sang this morning as well mentioned something about heaven. And there are many songs and hymns written of heaven, and that is good. We love to sing about heaven because it's a wonderful place, and we all want to go there. So you may have guessed it. Title of the message is The Inspiring Reality of Heaven. The last sermon I preached here, we talked briefly about heaven, but mostly it was about hell, the place where we don't want to go. But I also think that heaven is something we need to talk about just as much. It should be a compelling reality, a more of an inspiration to us, to spur us onward in our walk with God. However, just as we don't want the fear of hell to be the only compelling force in our lives, neither do we want the desire of heaven to be the only compelling force in our life as well. God teaches us about both of these places in the scriptures for our benefit and to encourage us in our walk. But like we were saying, the greatest motivation should be our love for Jesus and the desire to be with him, the desire to worship and serve. I think that even though we believe in heaven and that it's prepared for the faithful, we have somewhat of the same tendency as we do in the reality of hell, out of sight and out of mind. Part of it is because of our finite minds. It's hard to see past the reality of now to the reality of what will be. We also still have our sinful hearts to deal with and to bring into subjection. Heaven isn't something good that will happen to us on its own. It will take a full surrender to Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. The promise and reality of heaven is only possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as sure as there is a hell, there is a heaven. Praise the Lord. We will look at multiple scriptures to prove that. And then finally, in the book of Revelation, we will read of the unfathomable perfection and beauty that heaven really is. Even still, till we are finished looking at the scriptures about heaven, there will be so many things we still don't know about heaven, and so many things that we're told about that we just won't be able to comprehend fully. It's beyond our human imaginations. We know very little about heaven, but as one theologian described it, an unknown region with a well-known inhabitant. And I guess there's no better way to think of it than that. The more we strive to know Jesus, the better we will understand heaven. Obviously, the full fulfillment of that will be in heaven itself. Richard Baxter said, "My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it's enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." So we cannot visualize heaven, but instead our thoughts should dwell on the doctrine of heaven. How much do you think of heaven? Are you excited about heaven? Is there anything that triggers your thoughts heavenward that you can think of? Maybe it's gazing up into the starry night sky. Maybe it's the billowy, fluffy clouds on a beautiful spring day. It just might be one of those things that we think about more when life is hard, when death knocks at our door. Maybe age has a lot to do with it too. The older we get, the more we realize that the gap from now till we die is narrowing rather rapidly. I think that age helps us to put things more into perspective. The things of the earth are temporal. The value of things seems to lessen. Everything gets old. Things get rusty. Things just wear out and break. Always fixing, always maintaining. Would we truly long for heaven if our life was perfect here? I know that as a young boy and maybe even into youth, that I would sing that song and not really think twice about it. However, I do know that this song has way more meaning for me now. And maybe even you older ones would say that it will take on an even deeper meaning for all of us as time moves on, as the cares of life, the responsibilities of life, and the hardships of life wear us out. You know, the group of loved ones waiting for us up there is getting bigger too. There are just so many things to long for heaven for. You've heard of the phrase heaven on earth, I'm sure. Well, God wants us to enjoy life, and when he saves us and gives us peace in our hearts, that is the closest thing to heaven on earth that we will ever get. But in the physical sense of heaven on earth, there is no comparison. The best on earth won't even come close to what God has to offer his saints in heaven. I asked if you are excited about heaven. I'm thinking that it is a very good test for us. You know, we may feel assured that our sins are forgiven and we aren't going to hell, but we've become very comfortable here. But here isn't the ultimate plan that God has for his children. This isn't our home. It's just temporary. Where is my heart? Shouldn't I be longing to see God face to face? Heaven will allow us to truly see and to feel God's glory. Because we will be given new bodies. And if you think about that, remember what God's glory did to Moses. And he only got to see a tiny glimpse of him. His human body could not handle it. It's truly beyond our comprehension. Just try comprehending eternity, for that matter. And our never-dying souls, everything comes to an end for us, right? We can hardly comprehend that eternity idea. But in light of eternity, wouldn't you way rather spend it in heaven? Heaven offers hope, peace, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let not your heart be troubled. Even in a world of fear and turmoil, even when everyone lives in fear of global pandemics and world wars, we have hope, peace, and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So what will we be doing in heaven? The Bible tells us some about that. Actually, in a lot of the message today, there's a lot of scriptures to look at. I will be reading those. You may try to keep up if you like. Revelation 5, verses 11 through 13. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. We will be worshipping Jesus around the throne. It says that the angels will be worshipping, and every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I believe that even those who don't make it to heaven will be worshiping, but in far different circumstances. Every knee shall bow. No one and nothing is excluded. The worship in heaven will be so glorious and far beyond our experience on earth. I think, too, it speaks of fellowship, not only with Jesus, but also collectively with other believers. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18 also talks about the togetherness. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There also will be a feast in heaven. We will be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. These verses are in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. It speaks of Again, speaks of the multitudes praising God. We just won't ever tire of praising him. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. In heaven we will continue to serve God. Revelation 22, verse 3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Think about this for a little bit. You know, being a servant doesn't necessarily sound like a heavenly thing, really, does it? But there are two things here for us. One, we will be serving God, and what an honor. Also, it says there will be no more curse. The curse of sin, the sweat of thy brow, the hard work, this will be no longer. The joy of serving, and especially the joy of serving the Lord, will be pure joy, pure perfection. Who goes to heaven? We touched on that briefly along the way, but let's look at some scripture verses about that. The other Sunday we spoke of how hell is spoken of very little, and we don't enjoy talking about it. The subject is avoided, and many want to believe that there is no hell. Well, I also think in our society that the average person you ask would say that there is a heaven, and that they hope to get there. They actually think they will get there somehow, even if they haven't surrendered their hearts completely to the Lord. Heaven is the accepted place where everyone goes when they die, no matter what life they have lived. Or, well, maybe they would say the very worst would not make it to heaven, but no one thinks they are the worst. I did not find a very recent poll, but in 2005, ABC News poll showed that 75% of Americans believe they will go to heaven. Of the remaining respondents, 5% believed in heaven, but were very sure they wouldn't make it, or quite sure they wouldn't make it. 9% believed in heaven, but weren't sure or whether or not they would make it. 10% didn't believe in heaven at all. So what do the scriptures say about this large percentage of people who believe they will go to heaven? A large, very large percentage of these folks never go to church or even profess to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 7, verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Basically the same verse. Revelation 22, verse 14, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. John 1, verse 12, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In John 3, verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's quite plain, isn't it? Heaven is only for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and who live a changed life. Are you good enough to make it to heaven? That's not even a valid question, because none of us are good enough. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have our sins forgiven and be given the inheritance of eternal life in heaven. Jesus talked about heaven, but he didn't give a lot of description of what it will be like necessarily, not nearly as descriptive as in Revelation, but he did say some things about it. The most descriptive things of heaven we'll look at later, at the end of the message. But what did Jesus himself say that heaven will be like? John 14, verse 2. We read that already. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he's preparing a place for us. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Can you imagine that? No more maintenance and replacement programs needed. Things just won't wear out and rot away. We don't necessarily live in a high crime area, but most of us know what it feels like to have things stolen from us, the need to look after our things. If it wasn't here, you've been in places where you really had to pay attention so your things wouldn't get taken. But in heaven, all this will not even be a thing. No locks and keys, no security cameras, no feeling of loss whatsoever. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Heaven is attractive for all of its factors, but I am certain that one of the greatest factors of why heaven is so attractive to all mankind is this very thing. Whosoever believeth in Christ shall never die. Death is what mankind fears the most. Death is another reality we don't like to think about because we know that it brings us to the doorstep and valley of decision, heaven or hell. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and through him and him only we have the promise of eternal life in heaven. So Jesus himself said, you shall never die if you believe on him. Luke 23, verses 42 and 43, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus said he himself will be there. Hell is eternal separation, but in heaven there is eternal reunion. The reality of heaven and being forever with the Lord should compel us, or rather inspire us, like we said, to do what we need to do to make it there. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. A story is told of an American tourist who visited a Polish rabbi during the 19th century. Astonished to see that the rabbi's home was only a simple room filled with books, plus a table and a bench, the tourist asked, Rabbi, where is your furniture? Where is yours? Replied the rabbi. Mine? Asked the puzzled American. But I'm a visitor here. I'm only passing through. So am I, said Hofus Chaim. Where is your furniture? Set your affection on things above. We get pretty settled in here and forget that we are strangers and pilgrims. Would people believe us if we said that our home, our country, is not here? Hebrews 11, verse 13 and 14 talks about the heroes of faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Are you headed to heaven? If we are, our lives will declare plainly that we are just passing through. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Hope of heaven will lead us to purify our lives, to live in victory over sin and under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that we are to lay aside sin, but also every weight. So anything that would slow us down in the Christian walk, anything that takes our eyes off the goal. Again, we are not to get too comfortable in this temporal home of ours. These verses also give us assurance that we can make it there. The great cloud of witnesses, who are they? They are the faithful that have made it home. They encourage us to keep it up, and it will be worth it all. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Live in light of eternity. Focus on the eternal treasures rather than the earthly. We saw that in Matthew, but it also says that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So as we focus on the eternal values, as God's word teaches us, we prepare ourselves for God's eternal kingdom. If we are in Christ, then one day we'll be with him in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All the so-called sacrifices that we have to give up, and the so-called things that we have to lay aside, really are nothing when compared to the eternal aspects that God promises us when we lay them aside. God's eternal blessings already begin in the Christian life here on earth. Yes, there will be difficult and discouraging moments for the Christian, but the joy and the peace that he gives now, just a small glimpse of what he offers his saints in eternity. A widely respected man known as Uncle Johnson died in Michigan at the incredible age of 120. Perhaps his advanced years could be credited in part to the cheerful outlook that characterized his life. One day, while at work in his garden, he was singing songs of praise to God. His pastor, who was passing by, looked over the fence and called, "Uncle Johnson, you seem very happy today." "Yes, I was just thinking," said the old man. "Thinking about what?" questioned his pastor. "I was just thinking that if the crumbs of joy that fall from the master's table in this world are so good, what will be the great loaf in glory? What will the great loaf in glory be like? I tell you, sir, there will be enough for everyone and some to spare up there." John 15, verses 10 and 11. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We look for the eternal climax, you could say, but the blessings of heaven only just get started when we accept Christ into our life. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." There's so many scriptures that tell us about heaven and the wonder it will be. And before we close, I want to read Revelations 21 and 22. Let me turn there. John the Revelator struggled to put into words all that God showed him. And in fact, in Revelation 10, verse 4, he was told not to write about some of the things that he heard. We don't know what that was, but another mystery that heaven holds for us, I believe. So I feel there's no better way than to read both of these chapters and just to drink it in. And let's read about what heaven will be like. Revelation 21 and 22. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12th gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by a day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and warmongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. Thank you for salvation. And we thank you that we have the promise of heaven to look forward to. Pray, Lord, you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and to rely on your grace for each day. We think of all the faithful who have gone on before, our family, friends, maybe it's our parents, people close to us. And pray, Lord, that you would just inspire us on to keep faithful and to reach that city someday. Pray for those who couldn't be here this morning, the colds, the flus, those traveling and home from Africa. Lord, keep them in thy care. And we pray that you would bless the rest of this day, bless the song service tonight. May we honor and glorify thy name. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.